friends, let us unite in prayer. Almighty and eternal Father, as we come again this day to worship you in spirit and in truth, saying, Our Father which art in heaven, because thy Spirit has borne witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Thy word has borne out the revelation that thy Spirit has inspired the patriarchs and the prophets to declare that we are Elohim, children of the Most High. Thou art our Father, which art in planes of spirit. So, our Father, we are thankful for the revelation, for the knowledge, and for the inspiration of thy Spirit, which unveils unto us our destiny, through thy word, and with the instruction which you bestow upon us, with the guidance of thy Spirit, and with thy abiding presence, which is with us always. We pray, our Father, for this great nation, which is a great nation of thy kingdom, identified in the prophecies, lifting up the symbols and the standards of thy household, praying, our Father, for it in the difficulties through which we pass, that we shall have leadership which shall devote themselves to doing thy will and lifting up thy standards, that we shall participate in the climactic events which in this hour in which we live are fast coming to conclusion, that we shall continue to do the thing which in leadership and destiny we are supposed to accomplish, and because of this we have faith that it shall be brought to pass, that we shall see the forces of darkness resisted and bound, that we shall see a stand taken at every avenue in which the enemy would approach thy kingdom to destroy, and that we shall see the great structural power of Christian civilization moving out of thy kingdom to build a new world and a new order of the ages in accordance with thy plan. Our Father, we thank thee that we are children of that new order, and as we look out upon the earth that our destiny, which you have decreed, which is before us and shall be brought to pass, is assured because you have declared that you will do all thy pleasure and all thy will. None shall stay it and none shall hinder it. In the majesty of thy purposes, we lift up our eyes unto thee with thanksgiving, because you have purposed that righteousness shall go out to the ends of the earth, that the peoples of earth shall live in peace under the authority of thy kingdom, and that this destiny shall be fulfilled, and it shall be brought to pass according to thy decree. And so as thy instruments and as thy children, thy household, the embodiment of thy life in the earth today, we pray that each one of us shall catch the vision of carrying forward our responsibility of resisting the darkness, of exposing his evil, of declaring the truth, and lighting the light which is essential for this hour. So as we commit ourselves to thy hand, we say, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In thy name we ask it. Amen. Tonight we are turning to the subject of Satan's representatives in the United States, in this great land of ours today. There may be some that think we are presumptuous to say that Satan has representatives in America. We'll go farther than that tonight. We'll not only tell you he has representatives, but he has them in different categories. And there may be those who have, because of the sophistication of our age, been lulled into a position in which, while they may consider that they have an intellectual approach to our problems, have actually had their mind blanked off from essential and final truths which they should understand. What America is that you and I love and are proud of, what America became through the years of its development since our founding fathers settled it under vision and inspiration, was the byproduct of a faith which was in the hearts and souls and minds of the great majority of those that came to these shores. And that faith was in faith inherited by them before they ever left the shores of Europe itself. It was a faith that was born in a race which migrated to each place God planted it and had been carried from generation after generation from the day that the Adamic race was placed in the earth. I am tired of listening to men who wish well for America apologizing for great issues of truth that they should proudly declare. I think the time has arrived when we shall no longer apologize at any level for the fact that we who make up the white race, we who are the great majority in the society and civilization, which is America and its population, should no longer be turning our back upon this truth or silencing this truth in order to make comfortable those that want to change America, destroy our way of life, and cut down our foundations. We do not have to apologize for the fact that America was a Christian nation from its founding, that the Supreme Court in the past has ruled this is a Christian nation. I would not wish to depend upon a decision from this court. We have never quite found out the formula in which any Supreme Court can change the opinions of courts that have existed before it and declare that these positions of their changed opinion is the law of the land. It's never quite occurred to the court to explain why they are a greater court than any court that has preceded them in the history of our nation. What in a great number of discussions and issues that have come before that court, the present court of the last few years and in this generation has given statements of position which of course make of no effect. Similar positions taken by the court in the past, only taken rightly according to the content of the Constitution. But aside from that, let us discuss the fact that in these United States, that the great major majority of the peoples of our nation have been Christian. The majority of them were white, and though there were those in this nation that were not white, some of them brought in on the ships that sold slaves to this country, some of them who came in by visitation and migration, have not changed the fact tonight that we are effectively a white Christian nation. And though tonight we are a nation of 190 million people, there are 145 million white Christians in the United States tonight. Now, I have been approached several times, and just recently in an interview, by a representative here from the City College. And one of the things that this person wanted to know was how we could preach or advocate a Christian position that would extend the concepts of the white Christian majority as the process by which America should live or be ruled. That this was overlooking the rights of the minorities, this was overlooking their part in America and its growth, and therefore was not a Christian approach. Now I want you to know that what we advocate is a Christian approach, and it is a positive Christian approach. We are interested in the preservation of a white Christian America. And those minorities that are in America that are not white or Christian, if they don't like the idea of a white Christian America, this is the time to leave. When I suggested this, my interrogator said, "But Dr. Swift, is that Christian? Is that American?" I said, "It's basically American." You see, we have been whitewashed with propaganda. We have been told in the last few years that we do not dare consistently think as Christian Americans that this is antisocial. And we are being made to believe by representatives of Lucifer in our midst that a Luciferian concept of society is essential to American growth. We have been told if we are antisocial, we're out of step with the world. Now, I'll give you a little clue to what the Scripture has to say about this. The best thing that you can be as an individual is out of step with the world. You say, why is that? Because the kingdom of God is not built out of keeping in step with the world or the world order, which was in catastrophe when the first white man was placed here to start to put it in order. There exists no hate in the gospel of the kingdom. But there is a very, very definite reaction to the design which is out in the hands of our enemies to destroy the kingdom of God. But when we deal with the enemies of God, even David, who was a man after God's heart, said, "I hold these, the enemies of God, with a perfect hatred." Someone said, "Well, we don't want to admit that." Oh, you can admit anything that's true. Those that would destroy God's kingdom and enslave the earth have our animosity. Nor would we presume or pretend that we would go beyond the solution which God ultimately has even for people like that. For the gospel of God's kingdom eventually, though it takes some of these people and puts them where they properly belong, in areas where they'll create no harm and damage to His kingdom, eventually they'll learn a lesson that'll cause even the most infinite evil that exists to bow the knee and worship at your feet. That's how big your God is. But what's coming in the fullness of time in the ages to come doesn't disallow you tonight as white Christian Americans for your responsibility for this age and for the declaration of conduct for this age that God has decreed. The fact is that this great civilization which was founded in these United States was born with a concept of liberty and freedom. And we can read to you out of the writings of the Apostle Paul in Corinthians from whence comes the true values of liberty and freedom. He tells us that now the veil of spiritual truth from the Holy of Holies has been lifted. And as we talk to you this afternoon about the spiritual living tabernacle that you dwell in, that's a part of your being. But the light of God floods your soul
And as you synchronize your thinking with His, your purposes with His, that great pool of the soul, which is like the molten sea and like the great tremendous purpose God intended for it in spiritualism, as you allow and join your spirit in your thinking with His, the waters are stilled and you can have peace in your soul, but that doesn't change your responsibility of service in the temple of the body and in life and living. What it does is adjust you, change you, empowers you. But the purposes of God still must be carried out. You are the children of the Most High. You are the race which He established. You are the temple of God. Your bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Have been given some very definite purposes, and you are being changed in your existence, according to the Apostle Paul, from glory unto glory. And if you were to look as into a looking glass, into the mirror of the soul, and catch the pattern of God's purposes as He's unveiled it with His Word, and start to adjust your thinking to those purposes, you are told that you're changed from glory to glory, from revelation to revelation, to His own glorious image. But it says that the thing that accomplishes this is the energy of God's life. This is the Spirit of God. And where the Spirit of God is, there is liberty. The very concepts of liberty are born in the hearts and souls of men and women of your race. But that liberty and that life, that freedom and that salvation to the earth, which must come through the instruments of God's kingdom. It must come by the procedure which God has ordained. The course of God's purpose and plan is quite clear. He calls you to expand on the earth to develop the great impact of civilization, the knowledge and the wisdom and creative genius which His Spirit would give you as you worship the right God, as you acknowledge the Father. He foreknew before even the foundation of the history of your race on the earth the errors that would take place. In the magnitude of His grace, He prepared so great an atonement and salvation from before the foundation of the world that He refers to you as those He has predestinated to conform to His own image. Said, I wrote your names down in the Lamb's Book of Life from before the foundation of the world. Says, of all this I shall lose nothing. Now tonight, if your heart's filled with a program in which God loses His own children, then, my friends, you have a very narrow theology in the face of the greatness of God's purpose. One of the greatest developments of God's kingdom has been the growth of the family of His sons and daughters, their expansion, their spiritual guidance, their spiritual education, their technological achievement. And you may look tonight at the great nations of the Western world, in Western Europe, in the United States, in Canada, in South Africa, in Australia, wherever white men are. And you may say, as you survey these things, that you can be proud of what God is building. And it is not just a pardonable pride. It is an acknowledgement that God has kept His Word. Rather significant thing for you to understand tonight is that these United States were born of vision and inspiration of men called to pick up now the channel of liberty for the development of a great nation. And so you watched America grow. Suppose I tell you, when we framed that Constitution was framed by men of your race with a vision that related to your race and to its great new homeland. We have mentioned this before. For the record, we mention it again. We appreciate the Constitution of the United States and the Bill of Rights as one of the greatest articles of government and doctrine that have ever been penned by the hand of man. There may be weaknesses in that Constitution that were not made strong enough because it never dawned upon the minds of your founding forefathers that a day would ever come in the history of this nation when there would be those people that would seek to surrender the sovereignty and independence of this nation into the kind of world order that was diametrically opposed to the foundations of our society. Had they looked down the course of all the years of our history, they would have not made it possible for these United States to enter into the institution known as the United Nations. When we talk about the United States of America as a great nation, as a white and Christian nation, I want to make this another statement of fact so that you may record it afresh. We have no controversy, nor do we feel hate nor disdain towards races which do not have your mental and spiritual capacities, or towards background of culture which has been born in the darkness and continues in part there. But let's make this thing clear, that Constitution was drawn up for a nation of white men from the Articles of Confederation to the Constitution of the United States, and every signer of the Constitution of the United States but one was a slave owner. Now, this is not in support of slavery. For the kingdom of God eventually liberates all peoples and then sets them in their proper relationship towards the channels of knowledge and truth. But it is quite an obvious fact tonight that since every member or signer of the Constitution of the United States but one was a slave owner, they did not intend that the content and the rights and the guarantees that were written in that Constitution was for anybody outside of the white race. Now, you can't argue successfully against that because there's no basis for it. We're not in contention against the things that have occurred from that day to this, but we cite to you that in this hour, your nation has still had the influence of men who, in the foundation of your nation, saw the problems and dangers that confront a great white nation, which is a part of God's kingdom. And no one has to play coy about this, because George Washington was an intelligent and brilliant man, understanding that this nation was a part of divine destiny. He was also well-trained in ancient Masonic ritual and law. He understood not only the fact that this was a great nation of God's kingdom, he knew all about mysteries in your land from the days of Enoch that were down in the land of Egypt, and some of them still buried and not yet discovered in George Washington's time, but he had it by record and tradition. He had it right. I've been in the George Washington room of the Library of Congress, and there are the writings, the books, the essays, and a great number of the things that were the hand and production of George Washington by his own hand is there. And the things which he said, the things which he believed, and I have pursued diligently some of the content of these manuscripts. And I can understand why a few days ago, Walter Winchell, in his column on Washington's birthday, talked about why Washington was a hated, smeared, and attacked man by a certain segment of society that was in the United States. Walter Winchell didn't tell us who that segment was, but they were definitely opposed to the firm positions of George Washington, because he had vowed that this was and must remain a white Christian country. And he also determined that it must be free from the type of entangling alliances that would limit the destiny of free men to build this great society. And as a master mason and grand master of all these United States, I think, my friends, that he had the foundation for the information beyond that which today a person might receive in the Royal Arch or in other branches of masonry, because at that time nothing was deleted of these ancient and racial truths. When we talk about this purpose and this plat, we want you to know, therefore, that this society grew and developed as a Christian nation. There are divisions within the denominations of America as to the aspects of theology that they place the great importance upon. And in the history of the program of God's kingdom that's outlined in the Scripture, there would be periods like that. But inevitably, we are approaching a period when the faith is going to be spiritually illuminated as truth spreads across the nations of God's kingdom. And we're going to emerge one faith, one Lord, one baptism among the great and mighty structure of Christendom, from one Christian nation to the other, from one end of the earth where Christian nations are to the other. I realize that our founding fathers, in drafting up our way of life, saw that there should be limitations made upon immigration to these United States. Now, you don't suppose, my friends, that limitations on immigration and programs of immigration are not discriminatory, do you? One of your great problems is that the Supreme Court don't decide to say that all immigration laws are a violation of the Constitution, and therefore abolish that and call for a completely segregated, without determination, immigration. That's your next problem. But you know what immigration laws are? They are well-planned, in most instances, segregation laws to keep America from being invaded by an overbalance of immigration. I know about this. I have not only studied immigration laws, but I have talked with the men responsible for protecting and preserving them. I have talked with investigators inside of the immigration branches of security. I have talked with those who, in both the House as well as in the Senate, have underneath them the committees responsible for its control. I know what's in their mind. Most of these men are white Christians, and they want to keep the majority of people in these United States always white and Christian. And that's based on the idea that they don't want the status quo of a Christian society to be changed, and they are recognizing that any degeneration in the structure of our society has come from a absorption of more in our nation than we could healthily absorb of those who are diametrically opposed to the structures of our religion and our society and our way of life. Now, basically, immigration laws were intended then to keep America white, Christian, and this is still that intended purpose. You say, well, a small quota of people come in from other lands, that is true. And the day will come, and will not be as far removed as you think, when there shall be new changes in immigration laws, and there shall be no immigration into these United States except people who come out of the white race and out of those backgrounds which are assimilatable. You say, I don't think that's going to come. I'm going to tell you it's not only going to come, but Almighty God says, I'll precipitate it if I have to stir the sons and daughters of my race to do this. I'm so going to precipitate this that I'm going to cleanse the blood of my people, and I'm going to separate them just exactly like a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. Now, you see, I don't have to agree with your civics teacher. I don't prescribe the curriculum for the school, and the school is not going to prescribe the curriculum for the church, nor is the federal government, nor any other branch of society, because this is thus saith the Lord, and that's the way it's going to stay. Well, one of the articles in your Bill of Rights states that there is one thing that the government cannot do, and that's it cannot make a prescription for an establishment of religion. I think it's basically important then for you to recognize that God's truth are final and lasting truths, and that what we are advocating is for the preservation, expanse, and the regain of control of your nation under and through the development of white Christian leadership and authority. Now, that doesn't mean that anybody will suffer under that period. You know, the greatest eras of true prosperity in America come under Christian leadership. The greatest areas in which you do not find all of your wealth siphoned off by your enemies come under intelligent and instructive leadership. Now we turn to some of the problems that face us tonight. It is quite obvious that we are being told that the great objective of our society is the building of a kind of democracy that will quickly be interchangeable with any phase of a world democracy known as the UN. We have even been told by two secretaries of state, one who liked it and one who didn't, that after Moses Moskowitz made the statement from the International Lawyers Associations that there was no difference between international law and domestic law, that we could no longer protect ourselves from United Nations decisions because this was now, without any question, the fact. Now, it's not the fact, but that, my friends, was an accepted fact by two secretaries of state after lawyers in a world international legal and lawyers institution said that this is the way it should be. Now, you know, a Declaration of Independence does not have any pattern for abridgment. It was never the intending of the founding fathers in your Christian nation that any peoples from pagan countries and from the other races of the world, or even from nations who are of our own faith or race, would have any authority to impose their will on the citizens of this nation. It was so stated, therefore, even in the Charter of the United Nations, that nothing in that charter was to by any way abridge the domestic law of the United States or the right of the citizens within the nation. But they have been casting that aside. Even a Supreme Court in your state made decisions that were based upon United Nations law rather than your law, even though this was getting inside of the domestic jurisdiction of the United States. This was even on the right of aliens from Asia to own property in your nation in areas where state laws restricted it. We point out to you that there are many things today which are a great problem. We do not question for one moment that the invasion of your society is real, that it's by strategy and by design and comes from several facets of the design to overthrow this great country. When one talks about master plans and master plots, a sly smile comes over the face of the brainwashed. Do you know why that is? They're being told that there is a great fear among the peoples that form the right wing that there's a Machiavellian plan to conquer America, and that this is a form of mental problem or mental health. We know all too well they try to call us psychosomatic. Let me tell you something. The only people that are awake tonight in these United States are that right wing. And if this were not so, those who further the strategy for the destruction of your society would not be trying to brainwash you, would not be so actively engaged in trying to block the right wing. Now, this is a prophecy. Two Eastern papers were evaluating the expanse of the political and spiritual awakening in America, and I like the fact that they placed these two things together. They said one of the things that seems to exist wherever we find the great strength of right wing is a certain type of religious fanaticism that has a race complex as well as a concept of a national destiny, and they're trying to breed and weave these things together in their attack against communism they disagree with and personalities they associate with it. Well, I do not know of anything more healthy than to think that this great political awakening has within it a spiritual engendering life. And I do not think there's anything more important than when you discuss communism that you associate with it the individuals that are supporting the progress of its advance, knowingly or unknowingly. But the fact that these newspapers in Washington and New York in the last week said almost 30% of the country now is under the influence and is parroting the phrases of the right wing. Well, that's healthy. Because that means there are more people on the right talking than there are people on the left. You say, why is that? I'll tell you why that is. Because in those minority forces that have been subjected to the propaganda of the enemy, they are not all articulate. Number two, a great number of the peoples of your nation that are still asleep are not animated in any direction on these situations. They just drift. Those that have had the strategy of carrying forward the development of a socialist society and expanding it into what they think is the utopian world government, who are themselves dupes, are actually being taken down the road to the surrendering of their country, just like Castro took Cuba down the road. And when these Reds get through with their use, they'll put them aside just as they're getting ready to dump Castro or remove him from power. Well, you say, we haven't gone that far. We're too strong a nation to ever accept these totalitarian positions. We were considered too strong a nation a few years ago to have the government interfere with our business or to tell us who we had to hire, or who we had to be associated with, or who went to school with our children, or who was going to ride on the same buses, or how it was going to be done. You wouldn't have believed a few years ago the government would step in and try to do this or that as it related to these affairs. You would not have believed that you, in the source of a few years, would watch interference with education until the government wanted to assume the formula of not only supplying the aid or the finance to education, which they tax you for and do less efficiently when they handle any phase of it than you do on your local, county, city, or state level, and say that they do not wish now to set up the curriculum or dictate the control of education, but they say we will set up certain standards, but it will not be governmentally controlled, it will not be federal. Let me tell you, any time the government, through any of its agencies, sets up standards of education and tells you what to do, that's federal. Anything the government does is federal. This is happening. The other day in Berkeley, representatives of one of the great parties in these United States were gathered there fighting over who was going to be the candidate for governor, and I don't believe they had the candidate there. And one of the senators of your state came out and said, now, I believe in this federal aid and assistance to education. Now, I don't want to see them control the whole curriculum, but you know it's time for those that are in the right to take a firm stand against anybody that ends up with a butt. There's one or two that don't feel too well. Maybe it's the temperature in here. But I want to tell you something tonight. This is a part of the prophecy. The things which we are declaring to you and which God stirs in our hearts to tell are a part of a great purpose that God has for you and for the peoples of His kingdom in this nation and for your race. that God alone is not stirring me but stirring others, which is a great spiritual wave of force for the future in this nation that is taking hold and is spreading faster than the powers that are opposed to this can stop. And to those who are opposed to the concept of a Christian administrator ruled and dominated America, this is too late, my friends, to stop this great roller of tide. And if you don't like this kind of America that we are going to help build under God, then you better move now to where you like it. Because I'm going to tell you that it'll be a better place to live in here than you realize, but it's not going to be dominated by the enemies of Christ. Someone said, how can Satan have representatives in this country? Because God said that they would go out upon the earth and they would even penetrate the areas where his own kingdom was in development. And they have a rather subtle strategy. I point out to you that the Apostle Paul tells us in the 11th chapter of 2 Corinthians. I want to tell you, he said, about false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. But he said, no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing that his ministers or representatives be transformed as ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their work. Then the Apostle Paul tells us in his epistles, as he writes to Timothy and to others, about these deceitful workers. They are wolves who try to transform themselves into sheep by donning sheep's clothing. They are what John, another beloved apostle, calls the workers of Antichrist. Now, how are you to know them? You are to know them by their works, as it relates to the politics of God's kingdom, by their faith, as it relates to the affirmations of the religion of God's kingdom, and by their identity, as it pertains to the household and race which Lucifer has engendered against God's kingdom. Someone said that's too dangerous. No, my friends, not to know these things might be very dangerous. We have said before that we think there are a lot of great positive things that need to be done in America. What would you think if there was a consumer's guide for Christians? What would you think of that? That told them the names of Christian doctors, Christian hospitals, Christian bakers, Christian clothiers, and said, buy Christian and trade Christian and strengthen Christian economy. You think that'd be a good idea? Wouldn't that be American? I see there's one or two that don't think it's American. Do you think it's American then that right down here there's a newspaper and there are signs that say this is kosher, buy at this kosher sign, trade and keeps the strength of the economy kosher? Don't you think that the great majority of people in these United States have as much fundamental right in a Christian nation to buy, trade, and build Christian economy as a kosher society has to try to make America kosher? Now, I'm going to tell you just how American this is. That right now I know in synagogues in this city where they're discussing how to get the whip hand politically and economically over us, I've got minutes out of such meetings. And I contend that in our Christian society, we have the equal right when we come together to take the blueprint of God for building His kingdom and making sure that it doesn't happen here. There isn't any doubt that people that came here and claimed they came here because they wanted protection to live at liberty under our laws, who have demonstrated with their affluence that they have been successful under our processes of enterprise in accumulating for themselves great wealth, and by the cunning of some manipulated a great amount of that wealth into channels of their own hands. That they cannot say they have been persecuted or abused, but I question whether anybody is persecuted and abused in these United States, because the majority that would have the power to do it has not been awakened enough to its own interest to make the laws rigid enough. I will tell you this, that these who have come into this nation that were not assimilatable were basically not assimilatable on these grounds. They could not be assimilated into an integral part of the society of the white race without violations of divine law, which meant interbreeding. They could have assumed a part inside of our society if they supported the society and the status of the laws which the majority in this nation had already made. They have brought ill will upon themselves where they have sought by revolution to change this all out of proportion to their size. The other day, I saw the results of an explosive action inside of a political circle because the truth was discussed. Because the facts were brought out, the number of atom bomb spies and nuclear spies and the status of most of the leaders that have been found in communism, and they were all listed and they were all laid out, and the groups looked at them. And one man turned to these groups around and said, doesn't this prove what I said? Who and what do the majority of these people identify themselves with? What part of society are they the greatest representatives here in the communist revolution? Are most of these people Christian or non-Christian? And the fact remains that that revolution didn't have 5% of the names of great conspirators, spies, and those who worked against the structure of your nation already apprehended. It wasn't 5% that were white Christians. When I say that, I'm speaking ethnically, in background and in foundation. For that we have, unfortunately, evidence that at least 5% of the revolution have been proselytes to a cause who have become what Christ calls hirelings. One of the greatest traitors to the society of any nation are those that willingly move in to do the bidding of forces that would destroy the background of their race and their culture because they're paid for it with money and with affluence. And I'm going to challenge that we have a lot of hirelings in Washington as well as in in the state and local governments. But the magnitude of the design to destroy you, they are less than 5%. Now, it is quite obvious that this excited some of them, and they said, we cannot permit this to be stated when we enter into a political field or into a political discussion. Why? Because if this is pointed out, they'll say this is racial. Well, under heaven, what do you think white Christian civilization for a great nation is if it isn't racial? You think the Swedes have to apologize for being Sweden? Did you ever hear of Germans apologizing for being German? Or Anglo-Saxons in Britain apologizing for being British? And you know that this is a rather interesting thing. You go down, and if you went down in the past to a state agency and you made application for a license, and they put down race. You know what they put down? They put down American if you were white. Did you know that? A great number of them put right down American. They had marked down Negro. They had marked down Asiatic. But if you were a white man, they put down American. So self-obviously, in the mind of most state agencies, until they tried to pass these FEPC anti-discriminatory laws, when they wanted to separate the identity of people, they marked them by race, and in their minds, America was white. A little secret for you. Over in Burma, they were discussing, under a conference of nations in Asia sponsored by the United Nations, the eventual redistribution of the land masses and the surface of the earth. And they divided the nations of the world up. And I have a copy of how they divided it up from one of your foreign service representatives that was there. And a Canada and the United States. were marked down as white nations. And when they dealt with any part of the nations of Western Europe, they were all white nations. When they marked South Africa on the map, they called it a white nation. When they talked about Kenya colony on the map, they called it a white nation. When they talked about Australia, they called it a white nation. For more ways than one. They recognized that these great white nations of the Western world and Christian nations were predominantly and by the majority and by the strength of their society white. And when they talked even about some of these nations in Africa itself, they knew that a civilization, culture, and the dynamic power that was alive and made the laws and ruled the area was white. That was before the UN had finally created the great disturbance that moves through Africa and the great destruction to the development of the earth when they removed the leadership that God placed here for the accomplishment of the spread of His kingdom. I'm going to cite unto you that when the Apostle Paul said our problem comes in our society from the fact that Satan has spokesmen and ministers who say that they are angels of light. They're talking about developing the welfare of the world, and that sounds like a good objective. They're talking about helping the whole world become well-fed, well-housed, well-clothed. And the great secret of the principles by which this is developed in the society of God's kingdom is vision, faith, prayer, God contact, vision, energy applied, thrift, and creation. If you want to give the rest of the world what America's got, you've got to have a spiritual dynamic. If you want to give the world what America's got, it's got to get in proper adjustment with the only source of vision and inspiration that can create the kind of thing America has. And then you're going to have to get it like Americans went to work for it. We cut down the trees and we slabbed up the wood and we built houses. We went out and quarried out stone and shaped it up and built buildings. We went into the earth and mined out the materials, and then with the spiritual guidance of technology, we transmitted it into metals, and from metals into machinery, and from machinery into instruments that have worked for us. If you want to know where our food comes from, we have planted it in the ground, as no nation in the world has developed as much. For your nation, 10% feeds all of it with a surplus of 50%. You say, how do you do it? You do it by going to work. You're doing it by using your intelligence as it's related to inspiration. You do it by creating the greatest demonstration of a spiritually guided machine the world's ever seen. And you've discovered that all of these things, together with thrift, with the saving of a portion for security, for the putting to work of areas of that security, America has become a great and powerful society. You just don't go over to Africa, China, Asia and say, now here, we're giving you this. We're producing more and we can use, you take this. You don't, my friends, divide up all the substance of the world and divide it up according to the number of people, irrespective of who created it. That's not the way we made America what it is. Or you say, we've always had some people that never produced anything. They've been an extreme minority and their position has not been enhanced socially by this condition. And any time you in a nation try to enhance the condition of those that do not work or will not produce for themselves, until it's socially to be equated with those that apply themselves with energy and vision, you are subsidizing laziness and degeneration. And I want you to know that the Luciferian world cannot compete with you tonight. Now you say, how do you identify the Luciferian world? Very clearly. It isn't important to me whether one or two or three that don't agree with me accept what we say tonight. Any more than when I talk before a Kiwanis Club or a Lions Club, I don't have to get 100%. I go away with 75 to 80 anyhow. And what happens after that is that if anybody makes war on it, they discover that that wasn't the best cause and course because they identify themselves. There is nothing more effective tonight than truth well told. There's nothing more effective than the laws of God unveiled. There's nothing more effective than the laws that govern the rising greatness of a race and of a nation. Now, therefore, we point out to you this, that since the eternal, the mighty Yahweh, the one God unveiled as he was embodied as Jesus the Christ. He's not only the God of your race, the father of your society. This is your culture, this is your religion, this is your background, this is your origin. Deny it, depart from it, and you go downhill. Oh, you say there's been prosperity among enemies of this? Yes, my friends. There has been prosperity. But there has not been greatness. And I'm going to point out to you that you have to measure the end of these things. Have you ever discovered that wherever the enemies of Christ as a people, the offspring of Lucifer of God, they've been opposing everything that relates to Christ and Christianity? And every time they've gone inside of a Christian nation, it wasn't long before they were being run out. Isn't that strange? What do you think, my friends, is the reason why some people get run out of every country they go into? Why is that? Is that because they're a social complement to that society? Because they accumulate wealth there? Is it because people are jealous of them because they're successful? No, it's the way they accumulate it and what they do with it in order to take over and destroy that society and enslave it. Well, you say, I know lots of people attached to this group. So you know what group I'm talking about already, don't you? So you know. So I know a lot of people attached to this group who, they're just little people. They just run the tailor shop. They have nothing to do with it. No, but they support this Machiavellian monster that does know what it's doing. They share inside of the structure of that society. Now, I point out to you that the Apostle Paul, as well as John, the book of Revelation, talks about these forces which are Antichrist, which not only deny that Jesus is the Christ, but they make war against the civilization which you were a part. Would anyone question that Christ was unchristian? Would anyone say that Jesus was unchristian? Every once in a while I have somebody say that what Jesus said wasn't Christian. Now, we have to agree that if Jesus said it was Christian, your Christianity might not measure with his, but his Christianity was Christian. He started it. Now, there are some subjects people say you shouldn't discuss, but if Jesus discussed it, why shouldn't we discuss it in the Christian church? I happen to know that the original commanderies in the United States used to discuss these things. We got into a lot of economic trouble years ago because we let the wrong people start in on the treasury, you know. You know, Walter Winchell let the proverbial cat out of the bag the other night. You know what he was talking about? He was saying that they were trying to accuse George Washington of being the father of Alexander Hamilton, which he, of course, was not. And there wasn't too great a love lost there. So then Walter Winchell comes out to say that Alexander Hamilton was the son of a woman named Rachel Levine, a wealthy French Jewess that was down in the islands of the Caribbean. That's true. And that's the reason why he was engaged in an economic conspiracy that a great, brilliant, intelligent American officer discovered, and when he couldn't wake people up, challenged Alexander Hamilton, which was the code of the day, to a duel and won. I want to tell you tonight that if people knew the background and history of Alexander Hamilton's plans and what Aaron Burr knew about him, they would give another measure of credit to the intelligence of Aaron Burr concerning that situation. There is little doubt that when we go into the background of what Jesus said, that he wanted us to understand these things. He spoke of those that were standing before him in continual opposition and said, I have come forth from God, but you cannot understand my speech because you cannot hear my word. You are trying to advocate that there is a unity between your God and my God, and there isn't, Jesus said. You're trying to say that you and I have the same Father, and Jesus said we don't have the same Father, so we don't have any concrete foundation for a brotherhood between you and I. Jesus said, therefore, I want you to understand this. You are a different species than I am. Now, this is what some people don't like. Suppose I tell you there's more than one species in the earth, just besides Negroes and Asiatics and white men and brown men. There's more than one species. There are more than one species out in space. There are archangels and seraphims and cherubims. There are the spiritual sons of the Most High God, just exactly like you and from whence you've come. There are races which God's created in the vastness of solar systems spread across His universe, just as there were a race here on the earth and others came in the days of Lucifer's rebellion. There are different species. There's angelic species. There are earth species in the earths of the creations. And then there are celestial sons that God has embodied in physical bodies to dwell in the earth. And your race happens to be a celestial race that God has embodied from the Adamic race to your time to dwell on the earth and build His kingdom. Now, He didn't send you in here at the request of earth. He sent you in because of His own grace. It was to the best interest of earth that He accomplished this program. So that's the number one thing that you can put down in your notes, that the kingdom of God comes in with a concept of a divine destiny. Now, the psychologist who's employed by the other side says, look out for anybody that thinks they have a divine destiny. Look out for those that think they have a mission, because they are more strongly determined than anybody else. That's right. And if we want to re-save America with a great spiritual fervor, we've got to give back the children of America a great patriotic concept of a divine destiny before God. And it is coming. I'm going to tell you this. One New York newspaper said last week, there are 50 times more speeches being made by the right wing across America than all other institutions and organizations combined. The same newspaper said, a careful poll shows us that inside the nations, inside the cities of the nation, that more people go out after supper, after their evening meal, they said, to attend lectures and meetings on the Constitution and on their rights and on the concepts of the right wing than go out to any other form of entertainment at this time. The same newspaper said there are three mediums controlling and affecting public opinion. Radio and television, which they rolled into one. The motion picture theater, and the areas of the newspapers and press magazines as the continual and open pattern of professional and monetarily remunerative programs of education or of dragging public attention for attendance and attention. But they said that next to this, that the church gathers more people than all other institutions combined, at least for one session a week. Then it said, but the right-wing movements are attracting more people who attend a minimum of one session a week and far more than they attend the theater at the present time in the United States. You know what I think? I think it's about time that you and I thank God for some great new change that's starting in American life that have Americans more interested in small groups than in large ones in thinking about America and about spiritual things and about their patriotic destiny than operate and move into these palaces and institutions that this propaganda-controlled minority runs from the city of Hollywood. Now, we're not narrow and biased. We're not against motion pictures as a form of entertainment. We're not, my friends, against any amusement as long as it stays clean. But we are against the sale to America of corrupt and evil concepts in order to demoralize and degenerate your society and in order to create a hunger for this type of low-grade education in order that they might make a fast buck and destroy the concepts of your society. And the people that do this shall not be forgotten as America remolds. I lifted a long line of motion pictures that furthered the communist line. Some of the most popular pictures of your day start to move right in, and if they don't say something about the socialist and communist program themselves or give praise continuing to the Soviet Union or its development, They weave into the motion picture the mongrelization line as the most important basic area of Americanism. You know, I was rather amused. If you turn on the television screen, you're going to see more Jews on the front lines in those newspapers than ever went into the service. You're going to see, my friends, more of them sacrificing their lives, and you're going to discover there's more six-pointed stars put up than have been put up in all the history of the United States before. They're putting them up on television all the time. Do you happen to know that the United States government ordered that the crosses and the stars all come down from the military cemeteries of the United States? Do you know why? Because there wasn't very many of anything but crosses out there. And I know the facts about this, and I show you pictures of where this noisy minority that hates Christ and Christianity put pressure on the government, and they said that this also was not a proper separation of church and state, and this also was not a government activity to put crosses up on graves. They took them down. Some places, they put them back up again. Someday Americans are going to march into every cemetery where soldiers lie, and they're going to put cross back up on every Christian grave. We don't object if they want to put out stars. There won't be many. Most of the stars stayed in the quartermaster's corps, and it was just an accidental hit if they got hurt. Problems that face us that are very directly related to this. I'm going to just give you another type of being. There are men created as such. They are human, spirit men created by being begotten into by the Father as a race into the earth. Human or spiritually begotten men are the Adamic race, the white race, the created races you may see around the world too. They are also the children of creation. You are the offspring with His holy seed. Then there are a people that Jesus said, well, now you have a different name. Jesus said, you know what you are? Now this is a name calling. Jesus said, you're a devil. You're a species. Just as much of a species as an elephant or a giraffe. You're a devil. So you mean that? Yes. You say, where do they come from? Where do you think little giraffes come from? Where do you think little elephants come from? Well, little devils come from big devils. So isn't that prejudice? No, that's Christian. Jesus said, ye are of your father the devil. He looked at a man over here in the 6th chapter of John, the one man that sold him out, Judas Iscariot, and he said, I chose you 12, and one of you is a devil. He didn't say, shoo, go away. He just said, you're a devil. 11 good men, one devil. Now, I don't have to tell you what species he was. I can just tell you he was putting his hand in the money bag all the time, for he was carrying it. That's so in the Bible. Have you ever stopped to think what kind of a person it would be that would walk with God in the earth embodied, see His miracles, feel the great impact of the love of the Creator for His creation, even see tears in His eyes when He looked at a people that were Satan's own offspring that were so diametrically opposed to God? See the eyes of the blind opened. See the power to control the wind and the waves, and know the Master walked in their midst, so even pagan Rome recorded it. And then go out and sell him for a handful of silver. You can put the kosher sign on it. That's where it belongs. Do you know that even they'll sell out one another once in a while? We're pressed. I want you to understand that Jesus, though He were God walking among them, was always subject to their fury, their anger, and their knowledge of who He was. If you were to take the book of John and just go through it and mark all the time that they reached down and picked up stones to stone Him. They had stones hidden out in a building or a room.
You'd understand when they were trying to talk brotherhood to him to trap him, it was just a smug little conspiracy on his part because they were going to kill him all the time. And when Jesus said, "You can't talk brotherhood to me because we don't have the same fathers," I want you to understand that. Brotherhood with that which is against your faith and is not a part of your race and desires to rule America is not an American concept. But the great brotherhood of the Church of Jesus Christ, of the great nations of God's kingdom, of the great mystery schools of master builders, that, my friends, is historical, and that's the purpose of the Most High. Now I turn again into the book of John, and I listen to the words of Jesus in which he speaks. And in their design to destroy Christ, they attack him, they prepare to stone him, and they falsely lay claim at times to the heritage of God's children. Jesus said, "Who said, I've come for the lost sheep of the house of Israel?" He said, "Ye believe not because you're not my sheep, as I said unto you." And that's in the 10th chapter of the book of John. That's the 26th verse. Now, I know some of you are well acquainted with this, but I want you to think upon it, because in Christ's day, this was the force that was seeking to destroy him. Jesus had said they had been the offspring of a fallen angel called Satan. The book of Revelation, Satan, the identity is Satan as the devil and the father of devils, and Lucifer, an archangel that rebelled, are made one. So I said, "You don't believe in that superstition. I believe in that historical character." Say, "How do you know?" "Because I see a lot of his children. As long as the children are around, I know there was a father. And I'm going to believe Jesus when he made the identification." I want you again to think. Jesus looked at them, and they were involving him in a great discussion. And in this, they were trying to trap Jesus from day to night. Now Jesus said to the Jews, "I want you to know that where I go, when I go on my way, you cannot come." Say, does that make any differentiation between they and us? Yes. For he said, "Where I go, there ye will be also." Where he goes, every white man can go. Where he goes, every white man came from. Where he goes, no Jew can go. Why? Because Jesus said this statement. This is in your Christian Bible. Now, if you disagree with this, this isn't a political meeting. This is a Christian meeting anyhow. Anyone disagrees with it, don't have to stay. There's synagogues all over this city. Jesus said, "Therefore, whither I go, you cannot go." The Jews said, "Where could he go that we couldn't find him? Our anti-defamation legal find him anywhere he goes." There isn't anybody else who runs a secret police like that in every country they live in, you know. Now Jesus said, "I want you to understand something." He said, "You know, you're from beneath, and I am from above. You're out of the nether world, and I'm out of the heavens. And as to you who make up children of the race which he's called," he said, "you are in the heavens and belong to the Father in the heavens, and you belong to me in the earth. Don't take them out of the world, keep them in it." In the book of Matthew, Jesus pointed this out to you. One of the most positive, strong forces is inheritance. No people will ascend higher than the concepts of the seed and the faith of their fathers. And Jesus didn't expect that, because he had one of their race right with him for 3 years under his ministry, and he sold him. Now don't talk to me about great evangelists. I don't care whether they go to Palestine or Africa. They better start talking like Christ if they're going to be his representative. Don't tell me you're going to win Satan's children if Jesus didn't win them in 3 years. I have yet to measure the man that outshone Christ. So we expect no more than what Jesus said. He said, "You're going to measure up
to the stature of your fathers. Your fathers killed the prophets, that's what you do. He says, you talk brotherhood, but it's not there. He said, now you are the progeny of the sign of the serpent, which is Lucifer's household. Now, God didn't try to tell you a snake story. That's one of the great mystery schools of your race. Even the Zohar in the Old Testament, they didn't believe any snake story. They knew that the serpent in the garden was Lucifer's symbol, his crest and his sign. Now, I don't know a Christian church in the whole Los Angeles area with a snake on its window or a snake, my friends, in the church. You just in time, go over here past Pan Pacific and take a look at the synagogue. Take a look at those windows. I'm surprised it's silly enough to weave that snake in and out, and that's just point of start. But it's there. In this great nation of ours, it is a strange thing that the financial support behind the first spread of communism came from enemies of Jesus Christ. These individuals are representatives of their father. They did not come here for liberty. They came here to gain power. You say, do you deny any man the opportunity of attempting anything he can do within the framework of these laws? No, all the Jews that want to get together and talk to themselves have a right to do that. And I don't care how many of them climb on the radio to talk to America just so they give Americans time to talk to themselves. But I want you to know what they're afraid of tonight. The representatives of Lucifer are afraid that Christians are getting more platforms. The right wing doesn't get up and say you can't talk. The right wing just said, well, you shouldn't teach in our tax-supported school. You want to set up a kosher school and train everybody in that school like you trained them on Saturday? Go ahead and do it. Say, how do you know how they're trained on Saturday? Because I got a Talmud. I've got one they're using right now for instruction. I've got about seven of them. I've got a Babylonian Talmud. I've got a propaganda Talmud they sell to Christian preachers. I've got the big Bible in the hands of its creators. It's used by the synagogue council in New York City. And I know what they teach. I want you to know this tonight, without any fear of contradiction, because I can take you to my library and show it to you. You'd be glad to. Because they know that the United States and Great Britain are two of the strongest nations that came out of the white tribes of Israel. They know that. I'll show it to you, written right in the comments of their rabbis. They know that the Western world is a Shemitic race. Suppose I told you Satan ran synagogue. Oh, you say, Dr. Swift, is that tragic? No. This is the Christian Bible. This is even a King James Version. And in Revelation 2:9 and 3:9, Jesus said these evil people have the synagogues of Satan. You never heard a Christian church call a synagogue of Satan, did you? Woe unto these people that say they are Judah and are not, is the proper translation, too. You never heard Christians running around saying they were Jews. But my goodness, how many Jews try to change their name? Someone said, what would you do if you was a Jew? I'd do like Jews because I couldn't help it. But I'm not a Jew, and I'm going to see that Jews don't make America Jewish. I had a person ask me a question about India. A very constructive question. What about universal truth and their religions? I think that's a good point. They tell you where they got their greatest light. They talk about the day when the Aryans came through their land, the Manu, the children of Indra, whose Vedic forefathers gave them a concept that are the highest principles that are to be found in our religion. But we didn't get the principles from them. You say, how can you tell? Well, just take a look at American Indian and see who came from the highest source. See who's inspired by the greatest vision. They haven't sense enough to even protect themselves in their own elections. They sent communist Krishna Menon back the other day. And he has berated America almost every time he took the platform, except just for a little while during elections. I point out to you then that even at this present time, the way to determine a worker in Lucifer's kingdom is to see what stand he takes concerning the great fundamental principles of God's kingdom. Talk your